T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Great to have Chad Millman with us. Chad, now the head of media for the Action Network. They launched last fall and pretty much as good as it gets in my book. We'll talk all things wagering and analytics in terms of the tournament moment. Chad comes from ESPN and more. He's written or co-authored 7 books. Give him a follow on Twitter at Chad Millman and follow the Action Network. Chad, what's up, brother?
How you doing, man? Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, doing very well. Excited about this weekend. Excited about really this next month in sports. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have been doing at the Action Network since launching last year, right in the heart of college football and the NFL season. I've been a big fan of your podcast and your work at ESPN, but tell us what it's been like. And now that you guys are, well, I guess about to turn 6 months old coming up here, what it's like at this time of year to be a part of the venture.
It is crazy. You know, you mentioned I was at ESPN, which is, you know, a behemoth and has, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And here we are, a scrappy startup. And we've been going strong for, you know, a few months, as you mentioned. And honestly, we just look at everything through the prism of sports betting. And our goal is to just make people smarter about the games they're watching, make them aware of the parallel conversation that is happening. You know, there are so many ways to look at these games. Over the past generation, fans have become a lot smarter about data, about analytics, about fantasy, about being opportunistic when it comes to sports. And we're trying to engage in that conversation and sort of give people different ideas about how they can look at games and figure out who's going to win and lose.
Sports betting odds, great insight. It's at actionnetwork.com. You can jump into their Action Network Bracket Challenge as well. 3K in cash up for grabs at actionbracket.com. Chad, it's become, for me, so interesting to watch how we went from, again, when I was growing up, just filling out the page in the newspaper and knowing nothing really about any of these teams because you couldn't really see them, to now, where we have so much data, aside from being able to see everyone, there is so much information, even to the casual fan, to try to find an edge, whether you're filling out your bracket, if you're trying to pick some of the games on Thursday and Friday with some of the close point spreads that historically maybe you can find a little bit of an advantage for. How have you seen really the NCAA tournament change over the last even 3, 4, 5 years with social media information and just more things out there for the casual fan?
Well, look, everyone's an expert. That's really what it is. Like, you get to, you know, Thursday.
But then why are we all so bad at it?
Yeah, I mean, exactly, right? I mean, you get to Thursday, and I guarantee, here's a perfect example. Right now, you know, when you go to actionnetwork.com, you can get all this information about the brackets, and we can tell you who's overseeded and who's underseeded and who has the easiest path to the Final Four. And you can run a bracket simulator that tells you if you like certain criteria, you want to choose a bracket based on the best ratings at ESPN, you can do all that. But we also have, like, you know, a lot of odds and data and research and tools that tell you what teams people are betting on, how much money they're betting on these teams, how many tickets have been bet on these teams, independent from whether or not they'll advance, but will they cover the spread. Right now, some of the most popular teams to bet on are New Mexico State or Loyola Chicago. And that gives you an indication that so many people are analyzing these brackets and then talking about who the potential upsets are, who the bracket busters are in that first round, that suddenly teams that nobody talked about for 6 months, New Mexico State and the Loyola Ramblers, not too far from, like, you know, the North Shore of Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, those are teams that people are betting on in heavy amounts to win their games. And that's what I mean by everybody all of a sudden thinks they're an expert, because everyone assumes there's going to be big upsets, there's big Cinderella teams, and this is how they're going to sort of prove how smart they really are.
But even like Loyola, yeah, it's an 11 against a 6, but the Ramblers only a 2-point dog against Miami. So You know, it shows you just how close the margin is. There are a lot of those games the first weekend that it seems like it's a point, 2 points where maybe you can find an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, there's like, look at Butler, Arkansas, right? Butler's a 10, Arkansas's a 7. In the point spread version of this conversation, the game's about pick. So you're not getting huge advantages on some of the higher seeded teams, or you can find out if bettors and professional bettors are thinking, all right, maybe this team is the right upset because of how small the point spread is and where the money's gone.
Chad Millman, our guest, actionnetwork.com is the website, actionnetwork.com. Also recommend you give Chad a follow at Chad Millman. If you are someone like me, Chad, that generally, aside from maybe 1 or 2 years, is kind of crumpling up the bracket in frustration in the first couple of days, are there common things that people do wrong that if it's a casual fan, if you're in an office pool, if you're a Joe, if you're trying to find an edge, is there a common thread that people do wrong the first couple of days to really put themselves at a disadvantage?
Yeah, they don't pick upsets in the first round. That's where you make your money. You know, I use that euphemistically because the brackets, like, it's not a betting experience. It's a sort of choosing experience. And people who don't know any better generally choose, if they really don't know, generally choose the team that is higher ranked. And so they'll choose chalk brackets and end up with, you know, Kansas, Villanova, Xavier, and Virginia in the Final Four. And you know that not all of those teams are going to make it. It's never a chalk Final Four. And so if you end up with that, that's what everybody else has, and that's how you end up not winning any money in your bracket.
So it sounds to me like you are not a chalk guy. Give us an idea of maybe a couple of the games that you like before we kind of take a macro view of the bracket.
All right. So there's some brackets, like the East in the first round is just loaded with games where I think there are potential high seed, low seed upsets.
Yeah.
Upsets. I think Murray State, which has two great guards, could easily handle West Virginia's press. And if you get through their press, it's really hard for them to sort of reconfigure themselves defensively. I think Marshall is one of those teams where, like, a lot of people love Wichita State and think they could make a run. Marshall is one of those teams that could upset the Shockers. They could shock the Shockers. I think you're looking at Butler and Arkansas as well in that bracket. I think Butler is a team that is just statistically better than Arkansas is, but because they're a mid-major, they're rated a little bit lower. Let me see. What else do we have here? In the Midwest, boy, this one's really interesting, right? Number one, I think Kansas is overseeded. I know there's a lot of KU grads that are probably listening in Missouri, but I think KU is overseeded and generally overrated, whereas Penn is underseeded. So this looks like a 1-16. What you're really getting is more like a 2-15, 3-14. If there was ever going to be a time where a 16 could potentially pull off the upset, I would not be surprised if this is it. New Mexico State is a 12 seed, is in that bracket. I can see them easily beating Clemson. They play great pick-and-roll defense, and that's what Clemson likes to do. And so that was in that one. I think that the West to me is kind of chalky. Like, I don't see a ton of upsets happening there. Until you get further along, I do think that Gonzaga is going to be the team that comes out of the West. I don't think Xavier is that strong of a team. And then in the other bracket, which I think is the hardest bracket, I mean, you've got Virginia, which might be, you know, statistically as good as any team that we've seen in a generation. Kentucky, which could easily beat Virginia or just as easily lose to Davidson in the first round. Arizona, which is really strong and playing well with DeAndre Ayton. And Loyola Chicago, like, a really strong team that could give Miami fits. So it's exciting all around, man.
It is. And again, once you get through those first round matchups and those couple of upsets, give us an idea. And again, you can go to actionnetwork.com. Give us an idea of how you see the Final Four, because it seems like, as wacky as you want to get and pick some of those upsets in the first round or two, especially the last couple of years, aside from maybe some powerhouses that are at large bids and kind of tumble down in terms of seeding, it's kind of the usual suspects in the Final Four and kind of who we expect.
I will tell you, I went a little bit crazy because...
I like it. See, again, this is what I like.
Again, I'm looking to, like, win the bracket.
Yes.
And you don't win the bracket by...
I don't care about finishing ninth, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want to win it. So I went with, in my Final Four, Cincinnati playing Gonzaga, and Michigan State playing Villanova. So I have one number one seed in the Final Four. I have Michigan State beating Villanova and Cincy beating Gonzaga. Then I have Cincy beating Michigan State in a very low-scoring, black-and-blue, Midwestern basketball final.
If Cincinnati plays Virginia in the Elite Eight, the total for that game might be like 99.
It could even be less. It could be like you know, you're watching Indiana high school basketball in the 1950s.
I love that. Here, let me throw one more at you. And again, folks can go to actionnetwork.com. You can get the odds. As we talk about odds, if folks are in and you've rattled off a lot of the teams you like, if folks are in an auction or a Calcutta, is there a team that you think has the most upside? Maybe it is a Cincinnati, but... is there a team under the radar that you think folks can get relatively cheaply if they're accruing value based on how many games they win that you think you're not necessarily picking to make a run in your bracket, but you think could theoretically make a run?
Wow, you are going hardcore bracketology right
now. I'm telling you, man. See, it's the auction, it's the Calcutta, it's the bracket. I give the degenerates everything on KMOX, which I'm sure might be a first for KMOX.
You are a professional. As someone who spent a lot of time in St. Louis, who grew up in Chicago and had family in St. Louis, has family in St. Louis, I spent a lot of time listening to KMOX. I don't think I ever heard the phrase Calcutta.
Well, then let's make the people some money, Chad, and then they can go and sign up for Action Network.
You are a pioneer. You have gone through the arch, and you are a pioneer. I think it's Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Because it's a four seed. I have them going to the Final Four. No one's going to spend a ton of money. You're not going to have a lot of competition for Gonzaga, especially when they've also got North Carolina in that bracket.
They've almost like become almost like contrarian or almost an underdog again because they were the opposite for a couple of years, it seems like.
Yeah, and I think what happened is because they lost so many players this year and then just didn't do very well early in the year, you know, they lost to St. Mary's and they struggled a little bit. People just sort of forgot about them, but they rallied strong at the end of the year.
Chad Millman, again, go and join the Action Network Bracket Challenge at actionbracket.com. Sign up at actionnetwork.com. You can get a free trial right now. What better time than with the NCAA tournament on the horizon? And give Chad a follow at Chad Millman. Hey, man, appreciate it. I've loved the work you've done at ESPN, the books, the podcast, and really looking forward to following you guys at the Action Network and staying in touch. Thanks for jumping on with us.
I enjoyed it. Thanks very much for having me.
All right, what a treat that was, chatting with Chad Millman. We threw a Calcutta at him. Go check out the Action Network. Matt Fitzpatrick is going to give us some action. We're going to talk golf. Tigers back. Bay Hill, Arnie's tournament. Masters on the horizon. That's next. All right, Radford, a winner already. UCLA and St. Bonaventure in the first four game of the evening. 17-12 Bruins up over the Bonnies. 12:40 to go in the first half. Chris Raby with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Sports Up at 9. All right. Really the best stretch of sports. And tonight has been one of my favorite shows because we are trying to make you money. We talked with Paul Basir from PredictionMachine.com to get your bracket set and pick a couple of games on Thursday and Friday. We talked with Chad Millman, and now we welcome in Matt Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. Better Golfer, B-E-T-T-O-R Golfer. That's where you find him on Twitter. He joined us last year during the meat of the golf season just about every week. We'll call the meat of the season about Masters until the FedEx Cup ends. But Fitz, we had to get you on because Tiger is doing things. He's making me feel things. We've got another great field at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and we've got this tournament going on while the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is going on. What's up, dude?
How are you, Chris? Great to be back on the show. Get the season started right with the Arnold Palmer, one of my favorite tournaments of the year because everyone likes honoring the king by playing at his course at Bay Hill and down in Florida.
The Florida swing has been awesome so far. We got to hang out about a month ago when I was down in Florida for spring training. You were in town for a wedding, played a little golf in Fort Lauderdale. I went to the Honda. That was a fantastic tournament. We saw Tiger in the mix down the stretch. Of course, last week was just unbelievable. Vintage Tiger and really some big names at the top of the leaderboard. Phil winning a couple of weeks ago. This has been as, I think, entertaining a month of February and early March as I can remember in a long time on the tour.
Yeah, the buzz of the PGA Tour is back, and the crowds for Tiger practice rounds are bigger than the crowds have been for some of the majors recently, which is really awesome to see the buzz back. And you know, Phil talked about it. Phil and Tiger's had this rivalry for decades now, and Phil's thankful to Tiger because Tiger made him $80 million. The pots in these things used to be $1 or $2 million for the whole field. Now the winner's taking home $2 million this week at the Arnold Palmer. So, golf is back. If it ever went away, to me, it never went away. But to the casual fan, it is certainly back. And what a better time to wager some money? You're already doing it against all your brackets at work. Put a couple extra hypothetical dollars down on some of these golfers this week.
You know, I wrote a really interesting piece this week that all the young guys who we've kind of been saying, well, Tiger's got to be careful, and they've kind of been saying, I want a piece of Tiger, and they're all boys now. They've got to be careful because, again, I know we always deal in hyperbole, but if you look at a lot of the stats and a lot of the measurables and a lot of the numbers and you take emotion out of it and you did just a blind resume, Tiger Woods is playing as well as anyone on the tour right now.
Yeah, and he's in one of the signs where all these young guys are beating the old guys are with their distance. And like you said, blind resume, Tiger's driving it as far as everyone else is on the field. I mean, you have maybe a couple guys like DJ who are still getting the best of him. But when he brings out the big stick and puts it in the fairway, he is hard to beat. And it's really fun to watch. He's one of those guys where now you've when he has some of these swings against a tree or under a tree or where he is trying to lace a two iron, you think, I just hope he doesn't get injured because it's now in your brain for the last 4 or 5 years. He's swinging too hard, but I think he's taken the time finally to get healthy, and it's paying dividends now. As we saw last week, finishing second, putted about maybe 12 inches too short on the final hole and finished in second. But I think everyone can agree that the Tiger is back and he's coming into form right before Masters season. Hard to believe that we're going to be at the Masters the week after the final four, and he's going to be most likely, if not the favorite, one of the top three or four.
Yeah, those odds, and we'll get to them at the end of this conversation, but those odds are ridiculous how some of the guys – Tiger, Phil, Justin Rose, some of the swings that we've seen. You know, he's answered the questions, too, physically in terms of being able to play. He played a couple of weeks in a row in Florida. He played last week. He's playing again this week at the Arnold Palmer. And then what might be the biggest test, he could potentially qualify for the WGC match play next week.
Yeah, he has to finish. If he wins this week, he finishes 44th or 45th in the world golf rankings, which puts him inside the top 64. He really wanted to qualify for the WGC down in Mexico, but was not able to finish high enough 3 weeks ago. And he's putting together a schedule early on that is going to allow him to qualify for some of these events based on merit. And obviously he's qualified for the Masters for life, but he really wants to get into these WGC events, and which is why he's put the schedule together that he is. And one of the reasons we see him play these back-to-back last week to this week at Bay Hill.
Don't you like the mentality? He's saying it's all geared towards April. It's all geared towards April. And, he wants to go out and win, but you look at the progress that he's made. You look at how good the short game, especially the putting, has been. If some of those putts last week are at the Honda drop, maybe it's a completely different story. But just, again, not to put too much into body language, but you see him kind of laughing even on the 72nd hole last week when he didn't figure out a way to get into a playoff. It seems like, again, without knowing really anything that's going on, that he's in a better place and that everything is tailing in the right direction towards the Masters.
Yeah, and I think also something that definitely has to be said is that he sees these some of the goals that he's set, like coming into form at the Masters. But I think one of the things that really drives him after seeing the team, the Ryder Cup team in Minnesota, being a captain, being part of that team, an assistant captain, and being named an assistant captain this year is driving him, because I don't think he wants to just be an assistant captain. He wants to be on that team. He doesn't want to have to leave Jim Furyk the decision to pick Tiger based on not being qualifying from a points perspective. And he's out there to gain those points and join the team and be a part of it. He wants to be a part of this winning Ryder Cup team in Paris this year at a course named Le Golf, as only the French would do.
Ah, great job, French. Let's talk about this week. It is the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. What a great course and what a great field, as you mentioned, Fitz, as guys pay homage to Arnold Palmer, Ricky Fowler breaking out the pretty awesome cleats, and just a great, great field for the second week in a row. And really for most of this Florida stretch, we've had fantastic fields.
Yeah, he's got the St. Patrick's Day green with the multicolored umbrella over his high top golf shoes. They're pretty cool, as only Ricky could do. So, yeah, the field's great. Tiger's won at this course 8 times, which is just crazy. Most guys don't have 8 wins in their entire career, which is why he goes off as the favorite, as we said, coming into form at anywhere between 5 or 6 to 1. To me, those are not good enough odds to lay money on him. Doesn't mean that I won't be rooting for him, but in the event that he doesn't win, I have a couple guys that we can look out for that maybe give you a little bit better payout than that.
Well, and with Tiger being the favorite that he is, there is some value, I think, on some of the top players in the world.
Definitely. Without a question, we're going to have some higher odds with some of the best players in the world that you usually don't see. And when all the money's pouring in on Tiger because the money is back into golf, we're going to be able to seize the opportunity and hopefully pick some winners that show us the money.
So let's start with any guys that you like to potentially win the tournament.
So the one guy that I absolutely love this week, probably my number one pick so far this year, is Justin Rose. He's finished 2nd and 3rd at this tournament. He's never won at Bay Hill, but he plays most years, which even when he was playing a little bit more on the European Tour, he'd come back and play this tournament to get into form for the Masters. He finished in 5th at the Valspar last week, and in his last 8 tournaments, he has 7 top tens, and he's won a couple over abroad in the wraparound season. He's 16-1 right now. I just think that he is on fire. He may be the hottest golfer in the entire world right now, and I think he's getting frustrated that he doesn't have a win here and that he wants a win, and he wants a win at Augusta, and what better to get him in the mindset than playing like a field that he has the opportunity to do at Bay Hill this week. So at 16-1, I may lay a little more than I normally do on one single golfer with him.
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
You've seen the Masters odds just plummet for him as well.
I know. I had him last year, and his second place finish was still painful. But
well, as we know, I had Sergio, so no problem.
Yeah,
What about anybody else to win? So Rose, 16-1 right now is where he is. Anybody else to win this week? And then I'll throw a couple of guys at you.
Yeah, so I really like Jason Day. That's another short number. He's 12-1. He won here in 2016. The last 2 tournaments he's played in was he won at the Farmers and finished 2nd at Pebble Beach. The last miscut he had was in June of last year, and he's honestly, I think he's only finished once outside of the top 25 since last June. So it's a guy that, you know, has challenged that number one in the world ranking a few times and has the stuff to win when he's on fire. And I think because some of the younger guys have taken the reins in the media and whatnot, it's hard to say, but he's flown under the radar. And I think 12-1, I'm still willing to put some money on him
this week. And then the other guy towards the top of the leaderboard that I really like, Tommy Fleetwood, or as I call him, Tommy Fairways. Yeah. And I actually just read an interview with Sam Saunders, who's Arnold Palmer's grandson.
Yeah, grandson.
Who's a pro. So what he knows this course better than anyone. And he said that the rough is a lot longer than normal this week, and it's going to pay dividends for anyone who can hit the fairways, and you don't necessarily have to be long. Tommy is one of the best fairway hitters in the entire world. Last year he was over 80% in fairways hit. He has finished 10th at this tournament, and he's finished in the top 15 in his last two events. And so I think at 20, he's anywhere between 22 and 25 to 1. He's going to be a guy that I also back.
All right, so we've got Jason Day, who, yeah, he's somehow flying under the radar despite winning the Farmers Insurance with a great couple of rounds on the weekend, finishing second at Pebble Beach, and then finishing, you know, top 11 in his two previous starts before that, somehow flying under the radar. 12 to 1, Justin Rose 16. Fleetwood, 22 to 1. I want to throw one guy at you just because he's been really, really good and has played incredibly well everywhere he's been. You talk about motivation and potential Ryder Cup status. Brian Harman, he's been great. Six starts at Bay Hill, three top 20s, finished top five at the WGC Mexico. Five top fives already this year. He's at 40 to 1, Fitz.
Yeah, and he's another guy that is in the same category as Tommy Fairways, where they don't necessarily have the distance to drive with a lot of these other guys, but they're going to be hitting fairways. He is in form. He's taken a couple weeks off since his fifth at the WGC, and I think that's a great pick at 41 is another guy that I'll definitely be backing. I think that if you look at actually the U.S. Open last year, Tommy Fleetwood and Brian Harman were both guys where people were saying it was going to be a long hitter's paradise, and they ended up finishing in, I think, second and fourth in that tournament. So sometimes when these guys, sometimes we say these guys are short hitters and they still drive the ball 325, where it definitely does make a difference for some of them. For these guys, because they're so accurate with their iron and driver, if their putters are working, they're going to be in it on Sunday.
Matt Fitzpatrick, our guest, a.k.a. Better Golfer, as we talk the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. So anybody else or any more value that you like in terms of top five or top 10 finishes before we get to some Masters talk and a couple of fun first-round leader picks?
Yeah, so I like Jamie Lovemark at 75 to 1. He's finished sixth here.
Oh, to win.
And, yeah, to win. He's finished top 20 in his last two events. He's a long hitter, but at the same time, if he gets his putter working, which he's very hot and cold, he's a guy that I like. And same with Luke List. I like him to finish top five, finish second at the Honda that you were at. Long hitter. He's finished top 20 at this course before. So I'll back him at 10 to 1. And then one guy that is, besides Justin Rose, probably the hottest golfer on the planet is the Barn Rat. He is finished sixth twice here.
I'd like you to say his name, please.
Kiradech Apibonrat.
Apibonrat. Yeah. Who got Tiger to sign his visor today?
He got Tiger to sign his visor and wore it on the course. So this guy is quietly climbing the official world golf rankings. He's up in the top 25 now. He won last week on the Asian Tour and then finished fifth in the WGC the week prior to that. He's 50 to 1, and he's never had a finish worse than sixth here. He's 50 to 1 to win, 10 to 1 to finish top 5, 4 to 1 to finish in the top 10. I don't really care where you put your money there, but you can't overlook that. He's worth backing. And I don't know if you know very much about him, but they asked him what drives him, why does he like golfing, and he said because he loves spending money on watches and Ferraris and shoes, and that he said that he is the only white Ferrari in all of Thailand, and he needs to keep winning so he can afford his lifestyle.
This guy is a hero.
For any other reason, if you don't have another reason to back him, you should just back him because of that, because he's hilarious and he's actually a great interview, really good guy from all accounts. So I'm backing him, and probably my last guy that I have a few others that I'll throw out there, but the last guy that I'll throw out for your show is Molinari. He's three top tens in his last four here. He's finished in the top 25 in his last event, and he's anywhere from 66-1 to win to 12-1 top five and 5-1 top 10. So I like Molinari and the Barn Rat.
How about Sam Saunders, the grandson of Arnold Palmer, at 125-1?
Yeah, he's one of those guys. There's a couple of the really low
It'd just be a great story, too.
Yeah, Sam Saunders. You got guys like Martin Laird, who won it here. He's 125. Sean O'Hare's done really well here. He's 200-1. Matt Every's won twice in the last 5 years here. He's 150-1. In top five, he's 50-1. And then you have a couple other guys like Ho Tong Lee, who's recently won a world golf event, and he's 175-1. So there's actually, it's one of the things you and I've talked about in the past, some of these really, really good field tournaments, a lot of the guys that maybe not everyone's heard of or that haven't played well in a while have these ability to, you know, maybe throw $5 or $10 on them, and you're talking about paying for your whole bracket for the, you could enter 20 brackets for the March Madness and pay them all off. So
do you see any value right now in any Masters futures before we see what happens this weekend? DJ is the favorite at 8-1, Tiger's 9-1, Justin Thomas 10-1, Spieth 11, Mickelson 14, Day 16, that might be pretty good, Rory 16, Rahm 18, Rose 18, Bubba 20, Ricky 22, Paul Casey 25. Anyone that you've got your eye on early in terms of a future? I guess the ship has already sailed on Tiger and Phil.
Yeah, so I think the way to go about this is anyone who you're betting this week to win that has had any track record at the Masters is worth putting some money down on them.
Patrick Reed is 66-1 at the Masters right now.
Yeah, he hasn't had great success in majors, though. But
yeah, but he knows that from going to Georgia and then Georgia State. Augusta.
So Casey was like 40 or 50-1 prior
to 25 now
week, and now he's 25. So, you know, Rose is a guy where it's 18-1. If he wins this week, it's going down to 10 or 12. So maybe you try and gather up those odds early.
Oh, Ricky, if Ricky wins,
yeah, exactly the same thing. I'll be backing Ricky at the Masters for sure, and I think Rose as well. So I think if any of those guys who you think may do well this week, it's worth putting something down. But, you know, the other thing is if any of these guys miss the cut, those odds change in the other direction. Maybe you gather up some goodwill there.
All right. Again, our guys that we like to win right now at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, we like Day at 12-1, Rose at 16, Fleetwood at 22, Harmon at 40. A couple of more long shots as well. You can find all of Matt's plays at Better Golfer, BETTOR Golfer, Better Golfer, free. Go follow him on Twitter and check out what he's doing. And maybe the Barn Rat will be making some moves this week. That's great.
Go Barn Rat.
Got his visor signed and was wearing it around today while he was playing. That's great.
You're a Tiger fanboy.
Who's not?
I know.
Who's
great.
Not? All right, Fitz, good luck with the bracket. Good luck to your Purdue Boilermakers. We'll do a little Arnold Palmer recap and a little March Madness next week.
And good luck to Porter and the Tigers for you.
Yep, NCAA champions. Heard it here first. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Chris.
All right, it's Matt Fitzpatrick, Better Golfer, on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sportsman Line, back to wrap up this hour next. Right, thank you to Chad Millman and also Matt Fitzpatrick for joining us this hour. We're going to bring you some of the best stuff in our next hour. Konzo Martin, Mizzou head coach, getting set for his team's first-round NCAA tournament matchup with Florida State in Nashville on Friday. He'll be with Tom Ackerman, and then Tom will give us his perspective on the bracket and tell us what he's thinking. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Having fun until 10 o'clock tonight. UCLA, St. Bonaventure, 26-22 with a minute and a half left. UCLA, could they be in trouble? An 11-11 play-in game. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more coming up after the news on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.